be seated.
The first lesson is from Luke chapter 1, verses 26 through 35, and then 38. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth, to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled at this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David." And Mary said, "Behold, the bondslave of the Lord, be it done to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her.
The second reading is from Luke, chapter 2, verses 1 through 7. Now in those days a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that a census be taken of all the inhabited earth. This was the first census taken while Quintarius was governor of Syria, and everyone was on his way to register for the census, each to his own city. Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth, to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and family of David, in order to register along with Mary, who was engaged to him and was with child. While they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth. And she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn.
Today we light the candle of Mary. Would you pray with me? Pour forth thy power, O Lord, and come. Assist us by that mighty power, so that by grace and merciful kindness we may swiftly receive the salvation that our sins impede, who livest and reignest with thee in the unity of the Holy Spirit, ever one God, world without end. Amen.
Third lesson is from Luke chapter 2, verses 8 through 20. In the same region, there were some shepherds staying out in the fields and keeping watch over their flock by night. An angel of the Lord suddenly stood before them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terribly frightened. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid, for behold, I bring you good news of great joy, which will be for all the people. For today in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger." And suddenly there appeared with the angel a multitude of the heavenly hosts praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among men with whom he is pleased." When the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, "Let us go straight to Bethlehem then, and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph, and the baby as he lay in the manger. When they had seen this, they made known the statement which had been told to them about this child. And all who heard it wondered at the things which were told to them by the shepherds. But Mary treasured all these things, pondering them in her heart. The shepherds went back, glorifying and praising God for all that they had heard and seen, just as had been told them.
Our fourth reading this morning comes from the book of Matthew, the second chapter, verses 1 through 11. Now after Jesus was born in Bethlehem of Judea, in the days of Herod the king, behold, wise men from the east came to Jerusalem, saying, Where is he who has been born king of the Jews? For we saw his star when it rose, and have come to worship him. When Herod the king heard this, he was troubled, and all Jerusalem with him. And assembling all the chief priests and scribes of the people, he inquired of them where the Christ was to be born. They told him, In Bethlehem of Judea, for so it is written by the prophet. And you, O Bethlehem, in the land of Judea, are by no means least among the rulers of Judah. For from you shall come a ruler who will shepherd my people Israel. Then Herod summoned the wise men secretly and ascertained from them what time the star had appeared. And he sent them to Bethlehem, saying, Go and search diligently for the child. And when you have found him, bring me word, that I too may come and worship him. After listening to the king, they went on their way, and behold, the star that they had seen when it rose went before them, until it came to rest over the place where the child was. When they saw the star, they rejoiced exceedingly with great joy. And going into the house, they saw the child with Mary his mother, and they fell down and worshipped him. Then, opening their treasures, they offered him gifts, gold and frankincense and myrrh. And being warned in a dream not to return to Herod, they departed to their own country by another way.
I want to add to the many texts we've already read this morning one more, from a place maybe a little less expected, from the book of Micah. If you'll turn with me to the book of Micah, to chapter 4, we'll hear a little bit of chapter 4 and a little bit of chapter 5. Micah chapter 4, verses 6 through 8. In that day, declares the Lord, I will assemble the lame and gather the outcasts, even those whom I have afflicted. I will make the lame a remnant and the outcasts a strong nation, and the Lord will reign over them in Mount Zion now and forever. As for you, tower of the flock, hill of the daughter of Zion, to you it will come. Even the former dominion will come, the kingdom of the daughter of Zion. Now let's also hear and add to this Micah chapter 5, verse 2. But as for you, Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you will go forth one for me to be a ruler in Israel. His goings forth are from long ago, even from eternity. Let's pray together. Father, this morning we're in awe of your word that you have confirmed again and again, the things that prophets spoke long ago and were fulfilled in the coming of your Son Jesus and are being fulfilled in this day, and those things that we look forward to all speak to our hearts in powerful ways during this season when what was longed for and what is longed for meet in the person of your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us to hear your word this morning and to see your Son and his coming more clearly. Our prayer is during this season for us and our family, our friends, those that we meet, open our eyes, Lord. We want to see Jesus. And it's in his matchless name that we pray. Amen. Frederick Buechner wrote that one of the things about hearing one another's stories and what makes your story, when you tell it to me, so valuable is not how different it is, but how similar it is to mine. That in fact, what's powerful is that listening to your story is the place where I find my own. Now, we expect the story of the birth of a king to be different by nature. And the birth of the Son of God, even more so. Well, Jesus' birth was special, but it wasn't special the way that we expected. It wasn't a royal birth. And yet, every detail in his birth, though it came about as predicted, it did not come about as foreseen. It is unique. If we calculate from the service of Zacharias at the temple, it would now be late December, 4 BCE. And Joseph, a descendant of David, is called to return to his hometown of Bethlehem, not to be crowned, not to be coronated, but to be counted. Called there by a distant emperor who cares nothing for his life except to get taxes from him. For Mary, the timing couldn't be worse. To go on a long foot journey in winter when you're 9 months pregnant just seems like a bad idea from the get-go. For Joseph, the situation may have been humiliating. The hometown is not the place to bring your pregnant wife, who is clearly further along than the months of your marriage. Though the trip seemed bad and the destination seemed worse, they were headed for a particular place at a particular time. Bethlehem, the city of Ruth and Obed, the hometown of Jesse and his boys, the place from which came King David, was a city of ancient but dusty renown. David's royal city didn't have a palace in it. It hardly even had a city to it. But it did have a prophetic destiny. Micah had written long before that God would make the lame, the outcasts, and the afflicted into a powerful nation, and that he would begin this powerful nation at the Tower of the Flock. The Hebrew word for this is Midgal Adar, the Tower of the Flock. And the kingdom that would be announced from Midgal Adar would be a kingdom that surpasses the kingdom of David, even the kingdom of Solomon. And while it was long known that Messiah's birth would be announced from Midgal Adar, this Midgal Adar was now a pile of stones on a hillside outside Bethlehem. There were no festive crowds. There was no royal court. There was hardly anyone to hear the announcement at all except a bunch of sheep. These flocks were unique flocks in themselves. They were some of the flocks that were out in the fields grazing all year round. They were the only flocks allowed near and around the city of Jerusalem. They were pastured and observed by a special group, a group of shepherds who watched over the flocks destined for temple sacrifice. These shepherds were the very ones who trained the priests how to recognize a good and spotless lamb fit for sacrifice to the Lord. And so there were these shepherds on that night, shivering in the winter cold. And what's more, they were fasting. Because if our calculations were right, it is the 9th and 10th of Tevet. There's a fast on this date that the scrolls that list the fasts of Israel never describe what this fast is for. The scroll literally says on it, reason undisclosed. But many Jewish scholars, ancient and recent, have spoken of it as being the day that the Messiah was to be born. And that the reason that it's left off the scrolls is so that Rome wouldn't know the date of the coming of the deliverer. And so the unexpected and the expected met as the royal court of heaven suddenly announced through an angelic messenger to a small cluster of faithful shepherds, "Do not be afraid, but behold, I bring you news of great joy that will be for all the people. For on this day in the city of David, there has been born for you a Savior who is Messiah, the Lord." And then suddenly there was a court. Appearing in the heavens was the heavenly court, rejoicing at the wonderful news of the birth of a heavenly king. And the shepherds couldn't do anything but run and see this one who is born. They would see and recognize and bow before the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world. For the Lamb born that night in the flocks of Bethlehem would be the sin taker and the eternal King. Hundreds of years before, Micah penned these words, "Bethlehem Ephrathah, too little to be among the clans of Judah, from you will go forth one to rule in Israel. His goings forth will be from old, even from eternity. He will arise and shepherd his flock in the strength and majesty of the Lord his God. He will be great to the ends of the earth, and this one will be our peace." All of this particularity was for you, that you might know, that you might see and recognize the birth of Jesus Christ, God's Savior for the world, that you might see all of these details and trust in Him. And yet, His birth is sort of common, too. We can't forget about the shepherds. We can't forget about the angels. We can't forget about the manger or the magi. We recall, of course, that His mother was a virgin, that He was born among the cattle. But what makes His birth so remarkable is how much it is like yours. Mothers today give birth in makeshift shelters. They swaddle their newborn clothes. They worry and wonder about their newborn's future. Jesus' birth was like ours, only different. The writer of Hebrews puts it this way: "Therefore, He had to be made like His brethren in all things, so that He might be a merciful and faithful high priest in the things pertaining to God, to make propitiation for the sins of the people." Again, later, the writer of Hebrews says in chapter 4, verse 15, "For we do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but we have one who has been tempted in every way, just as we were, yet without sin." You see, being born like us qualified Him to die for us. Being born without sin and living a life without sin qualified Him to save us. When the author entered the story of humanity, He came as each of us did. In order to be one of us, He had to enter the world through a womb. This ordinary birth had an extraordinary purpose. God entered the unfolding story of humanity so that humanity might enter the unfolding story of God. But the only way that you can experience and know the fullness of this story is not to read it, but to let God make you part of it. You see, Jesus calls this being born again. Jesus was born on earth so that you could be born of heaven. When you trust Jesus' life, His death, His resurrection to save you, you're given a fresh start like a newborn baby. Your sins are washed away and you are made a child of God and a citizen of heaven. Those heavenly courts are no longer those that you see far off, but you now are one of them, a fellow heir with Jesus, a child of God. And so let's not just think about Jesus' remarkable birthday today, but consider yours. Have you been born again? Do you know the wonder of being made a child of God by trusting in that babe of Bethlehem, in His life, His death, His resurrection? This can be the start of a story for you. You can become part of this story. God wants to weave you into it so that His unfolding story is now yours. And it all happens once you are His. Let's pray together. Father, we thank You so much We thank you for the invitation that your Son has given to be part of your story. I pray, Father, that you would weave us into it, that if there's one who doesn't know you today, who has never taken that step of trusting in Christ as Savior, that today might be the day. Father, I pray that you would touch that heart, that we would surrender and be fully yours. Father, it may be that today you are burdening us to share this story with someone so that they also can be part of it. I pray that you would give us the joy to share. Father, so often we think that what we need is courage. So often we think what we need is more information. But Father, all that it takes is knowing the joy of your salvation. I pray that you would fill us with that joy, that we would share that wonderful story with others, that we would recognize what the angels saw and shouted over, what the shepherds ran to see, that the Magi traveled far to worship, that we would recognize the depth of who Jesus is, that we might be overcome with joy, surrender ourselves to him, and share the good news with others. We thank you for this wonderful season. In Jesus' name, amen.